draw your sword, knock your arrows, and ready your spellbook. It's time for another episode of The Gamesman. What role will you play?
Greetings, guys, gals, and girlies, and welcome to episode 72 of The Gamesman. I am Hardly Dan, and today I am taking the role of your host. With me, as ever, is my stalwart companion, Gary Amorous 89. Gary, what have you been doing, sir?
I'm a companion cube. Or you can call me a companion ball, because I'm rounder than square.
Is it a safety cube? Companion safety cube?
Yes, my edges are rounded. Oh, God. Well, I've been pretty good. I've been in a lot of pain this week because, well, it was moving week for my parents, well, my dad and my brother, to go down to Virginia. And Thursday, I got off work, came home, and from like 4 o'clock to 10 o'clock at night, almost, I was just packing shit away and throwing it into the truck to go down to Virginia. And we didn't even finish on Thursday, we finished Friday before like the people came with the mattresses to go down. And we got that thing so packed perfectly, like, they put the couches in, and that took up the last bit of space. Put in two couches and an end table, and, like, the door just fucking went, like, past it. It was great. Couldn't believe how well we did that. Thursday, I took my first Percocet in my life, but yeah, we left Friday. My mom drove about 3 hours. I drove 3 hours. And I was nervous as hell to drive this gigantic 20-foot bed truck. And because I've never really driven a big truck other than, like, my dad's truck. And that's not, like, that big. But, like, I started driving and everything and getting on the road, getting used to, because you didn't have much room on the sides, just getting used to moving with it. And after I got used to it, I was flying like 75 down the highway to get to Virginia. And, it was getting, really late and dark, whenever I started driving, but, roads were pretty well clear, so that was good. There were some crazy fast moving trucks on there too. Like, semis and shit. But, yeah, like, it was awesome. It handled so well. Other than not being able to see that well because of the blind spots and everything, I didn't hit anyone, so we're good there.
That you know of.
That I know of. May have hit children, but I couldn't tell from the bounce of the tires. I probably just thought I hit a pothole. I don't know. But it was...
There's a weird inverted pothole there.
Well, maybe a child was sitting in a pothole and I just went down and crushed him and didn't go down as far. I was like, oh, I thought that was bigger. After driving this truck, I'm like, because you're up, you know, you're up so much higher in the air than you are, like, in a car and everything. I'm like, I kind of want a truck now. Because... It was pretty awesome. That thing had good pickup for a fucking gigantic truck. I was taking off faster than cars were. So I thought that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, it probably had some ridiculously sized engine in it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know how many hundreds of pounds we had in that thing, thousands of pounds we had in that truck, but it was a lot.
Breaking.
And that was just me. Did we break anything?
Yeah. With you accelerating like a...
Oh, no, because everything was so jam-packed in there, like, nothing moved. The only things we had break, there was one cup that broke, one plate that broke, and those were all, like, in containers themselves, so who knows when those actually broke, but they're like in the middle of everything, so surprised nothing else broke with it. And then our futon.
Pothole child.
Yeah.
That'll be that pothole child.
Yeah. And the futon, because it's metal, and my cousin was packing everything in, he put everything on top of the futon, basically. The futon on the bottom was a little bent.
I'm not surprised. I mean,
yeah,
it doesn't designed to take a certain weight. Amount of weight.
Yeah.
Yeah, two people.
If you... but yeah, like, I mean, that can be bent back. It's no problem. It's not too bad. But it was a lot of fun driving down. Got there, spent some time. Had my first curry yesterday. That was fun. That was
hot. What did you think of it?
It was really good. Very hot. I have this rice, too, that I got. It was a... I can't remember. It was like cow pung something. I don't know. But it was a spicy fried rice, and that was good. I have more here. I'm going to eat probably tomorrow.
Next time you get the chance, if you find somewhere that does lampasanda, have that with mushroom rice and a peshwari naan. It's not a hot curry, but it's so tasty.
I like hot stuff, but man, I didn't even remember. Whenever you're going to drive 6 hours or 7 hours, whatever, home, don't eat spicy food the day before.
Well, it sucks. I've felt like I've had spicy food over the past few days, and I know I haven't. It's been horrible.
Oh, God. Yeah, today's been a little bit fun. Yeah, had some fun down there. We moved everything out a lot faster. We moved everything in. Got everything done around 11, 12-ish. And then I went out with my mom and stuff, and she took me to these marketplaces and stuff, and I bought a lot of food and alcohol.
Yeah.
I spent like $250 on food and alcohol.
Was it mainly alcohol?
A big portion probably was, because I got like all these cool looking bottles, like these bottles are red, white, and blue, and they're shaped like cats. So I thought they were adorable, so I picked them up. I got a bunch of different types of sake. I saw these couple beers. One was, it had like a kind of skull looking thing on it, said tequila on it, so I was like, I'm going to get this so Courtney can try it. And then there's another one that was, it had Buddha on it. I don't even know what it is. I just picked it up. So, I have a Buddha beer and this skull beer thing. And I got like tons and tons and tons of candy, and Courtney freaked out when she saw it today. And I went to an Asian market and got a bunch of other candies and drinks and stuff. And it's awesome. And I got Pocky, and yeah. It's great. I'm excited to eat some. I don't eat candy very often, and I'm not going to eat most of this candy. Most of it's for Courtney, because it's, like, gummy stuff. Like, she loves gummy bears and stuff, and I got her these, like, I think it's blue raspberry gummy things. I got her some gummy things that are, like, in the shape of butterflies and stuff.
Did you get any gummy things that are going to give her diarrhea?
I did not get the sugar-free gummy bears.
You totally should have, and then just changed the label.
It's not like she would have known. But
these are delicious. Oh, my ass!
But, yeah, she's been freaking out. Oh, I found extra hot wasabi peas, so I'm excited to try those out. But
do you like wasabi peas?
Mm-hmm. And these are extra hot, so I'm like, I wonder. Yeah, like, it was an awesome weekend, moving stuff, and my dad and brother moved back today because they're waiting for the school or whatever to say, yes, we want you down here now, because, my brother's, has worked there the last couple summers, and he's waiting for them to say, like, okay, you're gonna be working this year, because they want him there again, so, they will be moving down permanently then, and then I can finally move stuff around and take over the house slowly. By slowly, I mean I'm like burning everything down and then putting my stuff in its place. But first, taking outside probably would be a good idea, not to burn in the house.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, see, there might be some bits you can, you know, turn into something else, like sliding keyboard drawer or.
No, I'll just.
Sliding.
I'll make that from scratch or something.
Yeah.
I will press my own wood. but the other thing that I've talked about is amiibo hunting. So I went to like 3 GameStops, 2 Walmarts, a Best Buy, and a Toys R Us on Friday because I took a half day to get all this rest of stuff loaded up on the truck and that. But I spent an hour and a half looking for amiibo before I did that. Courtney in the morning got me the Splatoon, NES Pac-Man, and, something, another one, Super Mario. And I went out to find the rest, and nowhere fucking had anything, of course. And then I went to Toys R Us, and I went and I saw, oh, they have Charizard, sweet, I can get Charizard. So, I went to the back, I was like, look and see if they had any others around. And they didn't. And then the employee, like, back there was like, can I help you? I was like, oh, I saw you had Charizard, behind the counter. I was gonna get him. He's like, oh, yeah, we also have Greninja. I was like, yes! Because that's the Toys R Us exclusive, and, like, I thought I was never gonna get that shit. But then he went to ring me up and everything, and I was talking to him about, like, oh, you know, the amiibo situation, and, you know, all the stock issues and all that shit. And then he's like, yeah, we're only allowed to take like 10 pre-orders and the rest, had to be sold. And he said that they got 80 in stock. And I like went, what? Because normally places only get like 6 or 7, you know, and at the most. They had 80 of Greninja, which I didn't think was even possible. And then they got like 30 Pac-Man or something like that, and you know, a bunch of the other ones and stuff. And they even got 4 Marthen, and he said that they were like, yeah, we got 4 Marthen, and we just kind of hid them off to the side, and if somebody saw them, they could ask for it, but we weren't advertising it. So, like, he was saying this, that one girl, like, said, oh, is that Marthen? He's like, yeah, it's yours. And, so, she got Martha, and then, like, these kids next, you know, on the register next to her, like, saw she got Martha, and was like, oh, that's gay, I didn't know Martha was here, blah! And he was just telling me these stories and stuff, and I thought it was hilarious. Like, we spent, like, 10 minutes just chatting, because there's nobody else in the store. But yeah, like, you know, I was really surprised that the amiibo situation wasn't as dire as I thought it was going to be, because there's an overabundance of Silver Mario and Pac-Man. Like, I've seen them everywhere. But yeah, it was just, it's been crazy. I was happy because I couldn't find Wario anywhere, and Courtney sent me a picture that morning, like, and Wario was in the picture. I was like, why didn't you pick up Wario? And then I thought I wasn't gonna get Wario, and then I went to the GameStop at home, and they still had the same ones that are in the picture she sent me. I was like, wow, nobody came here. I'm fucking lucky. So I got, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, like 10 amiibo. on Jesus, Friday. Man. That's $130, by the way.
Yeah, I was gonna say, aren't they about $13 each?
Yeah. So yeah, that was fun. Okay, it's like $6 off because I got the 3-pack of Splatoon, so, I saved a little bit of money. Yeah, so, had some fun with that stuff. Gabe from Toys R Us was awesome. Oh yeah, and then I went to, my stop before last was another GameStop. So, I went to the GameStop, and I walked up like a bot. Like, I told the guy at Toys R Us, I was like, yeah, I do a podcast, and it's good to, like, get information about what's going on, around and stuff, so I can, like, let people know. And then I go in the GameStop, and I walked in like I was the biggest badass. I'm like, I walk up to the counter, put my hands down, I'm like, how disappointed am I gonna be? And he's like, pretty disappointed, I'm out of Ness. I was like, I don't fucking care about Ness. I was like, I already got Ness. And then, I was like, so how's your stock situation been? He's like, what do you mean? I was like, your stock for the newest wave of Amiibo. He's like, what's on the counter minus, like, 5? So he had, like, 20 in stock with, like, all of them. So I was like, okay, I don't know if Nintendo's fixing the stock situation or not.
Well, they seem to be with Toys R Us.
Yeah, at least Toys R Us.
Why didn't you go there first? Because last time, sorting out the new 3DS, your brother, Toys R Us was the place.
Well, Toys R Us normally always has, it is good for having, stock, because it seems like not too many people think about it. That's the other thing, the guy told me, there was a line around the store for people getting Amiibo. And I was like, now I knew people, like, were crazy about Amiibo. I didn't think anybody around here was crazy about Amiibo.
Amiibo, the savior of Nintendo.
Yeah, like, people lining outside for Amiibo, okay? Like, I've seen people line up. I've seen a line around the store for Black Friday. I've seen a line around the store for Halo.
Yeah, or Call of Duty, or...
Yeah. Amiibo! I've fucking done it. And, like, people are, like, going crazy and getting them all. Now, if they fix the stock situation, they're gonna sell, like, so
a
fucking many.
A plastic figure with an NFC chip in it. Yay!
Yes. And it's making them tons of money. Like, I would like to see how many of these sold on the release of... Because, like I said, like, I got 10. There were, like, 12 or 13 that came out. And I want more.
I wonder because... how easy it is to copy the data on them.
What do you mean, like,
Well, I'm assuming they use NFC technology for it to work.
Well, yeah.
And you can buy blank NFC stickers.
Oh, so you're saying putting, like, a different,
So, yeah, a friend of yours picks up an Amiibo and you copy the data and put it on the NFC sticker. And I wonder if that would work. I'm not condoning it. I'm just, you know, wondering.
I have no idea how it would work. Like, I mean, the biggest thing Steve and I are going to do, because Bobby got stuff and I got stuff and Steve doesn't have shit, because he's trying not to buy Amiibo, I think. He's getting, like, a few that he really wants, but that's really it. But, like, yeah, we're all gonna, like, swap Amiibo and get the unlocks on each other's systems and stuff like that, so, we don't have to have them all. And, like, I'm getting the bug, like, I kinda want them all because I have most of them, and now I can't get them all because stock sucks, and that's the reason I didn't really search hard in the first place.
I'm really tempted to go into game at some point and take a photo of all the Amiibos they've got there.
Yeah, I will send you the ones I don't have, and you better pick them up and send them to me, so... You'll get my undying gratitude.
Money. I spent my last... whatever it was, I can't remember what it came to. I think it was about £7 on a big bottle of cider and tubes of Pringles for tonight's show. So.
Nice. But yeah, like, I should probably stop talking, because nobody cares. I sent a picture of the boss wave and everything with all the Amiibo I got, and they probably rolled their eyes. Because, like, whenever I was on the podcast, I talked about Amiibo and how I had 16, and I almost doubled my Amiibo collection in one day. And by the way, I haven't had time to open them, so, like, I kind of am, like, I want to open them and touch them. Physically.
I'm surprised you're not buying two of each, one that you can leave packaged.
I'm not that crazy with that kind of stuff. I really don't care. I'd like to touch my stuff. So I can't, like, if I got a second one, I'd probably eventually open it. I'm like, no, get out of the package. Must touch you in your hat. But yeah. Dan, what have you been up to?
Vaping away, as I think I said last week, I've trying to stop smoking. So I've got this, e-cig thing. My collection of, juices, is gradually increasing. I started off with just vanilla.
How's now vanilla?
Yeah, it's very nice. I've got menthol, raspberry, tobacco, and blueberry. And actually, any of those mixed together seems quite nice. So that's kind of cool. Other than that, been kind of preparing for EGX. Got myself a new rucksack that was on sale in Sainsbury's. It's designed to take a 15.6-inch laptop and up to a 10.1-inch tablet. It's got loads of other pockets and stuff, so plenty of room for flyers and things. And so, yeah, I'm going to be taking that around with me. I haven't tried putting my microphone in it as well. But, yeah, I'll be using that rucksack for EGX this year. I do need to spend more money because I've realized my portable charger I used last year is now no longer fully charging, which kind of sucks. So I'm going to have to get maybe a couple more of those because they're expensive anyway. And at some point, I've got to figure out where I'm going to stay and how I'm going to get there. But, you know, I'll figure that out later. Although I have just realized that it is now June.
No, it's not. Oh, well, for you, yeah. I guess yeah. It's June.
So it's coming up quick.
September, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, I've got to sort that out. And going to give Mum some money. She's just got herself a Acer Iconia W510. I think the 10 stops the screen size. And it's quite a nice little tablet that has its own keyboard that it slots into, a bit like Microsoft's Surface Pro or the Surface. But instead of it being £139, we got it for £190 because it was an ex-display one. So that's cool. Annoyingly, it had a fucking password on it. And all the ways that I know to get past Windows passwords just weren't happening. So that was a bit of a shame. I could get it to boot from USB. Well, no, I could get it, the BIOS to make it boot from USB, but it wouldn't actually boot from the USB. So I was like, damn it. So, yeah, that was a bit of a pain in the ass. But other than that, I'm getting spares for my e-cigarette. I've got a Bobby Gooding, ex-Iron Hammer's host, is into the whole vaping scene now. And he suggested a different Clearomizer, which is basically the clear bit where you can see the fluid and the wick. And made out of Pyrex rather than these plastic ones, which are you can't really get into these, and they're considered disposable. You can't replace the coils or anything. So that's going to be coming up in the next few days. So I'm looking forward to trying that out. Apparently, I should get a better hit off it as well, so that'll be good. Other than that, just doing a bit of a workout every time Mum wants to go shopping, pushing her around in her wheelchair. Especially when we go to the supermarket where we get the trolley that attaches to the so it's no longer Mum, it's Mum and all the shopping, which is, yeah, luckily, you know, everywhere is accessible. But every now and then I have to lift her up a curb or something, and I guess, you know, it's not too bad. The weird thing is the amount of people that, I don't know, either don't see her in the chair or choose not to see her. So I have the choice of trying to turn past them, saying excuse me, or just going straight towards them, really. Guess which one I choose?
Probably going straight towards them.
Yeah, eventually they notice that there's an angry-looking man with a beard pushing a woman in the chair, and that whatever happens, there's metal, more mass, and... And
more anger.
All they need to do is actually just step away. But yeah, the cool thing, going back to this e-cigarette, Mum is quite happy for me to use it in the house and in the car. So that's good. I don't have to nip outside for cigarettes anymore. So.
And you said you had 2 cigarettes in the last 2 weeks?
Yeah, before I got this replacement battery, which is actually bigger. Basically, I had a cigarette each time I had to recharge the battery, which was twice. Hmm. So, yeah, now I don't need that. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Cool.
Yeah, other than that, you know, normal stuff, walking the dog. This laptop still, oh my God, it's finished doing its updates. I can make 149. I can make it install Windows 8.1 and then do all those updates next.
Good boy.
I'll do that after the show.
Probably a good idea.
That's been about it for my week and I guess your week. So, Gary, what have you been playing? Can't be that much considering how busy you've been.
Surprisingly a lot. Because I've been doing so much gaming on my 3DS. It's been insane. And like, going down to Virginia while my mom was driving, I could play 3DS. While we're sitting in the house doing nothing, I could play 3DS. Last night was a lot of gaming. Because Steve got on TeamSpeak, which is surprising. By the way, I took a laptop down so I could, you know, get on TeamSpeak, because I just remembered that last minute, so I was like, threw a laptop in a bag and brought it down. I was like, woo! Because my mom gave me their old laptop, which still works pretty nicely. I'm only using it for a few things and maybe mobile editing of the podcast, if need be. That's really the only purpose of it for me. And now as my portable TeamSpeak thing, because I get lonely.
Bless.
And then normally nobody's on, and I talk to Jason at like 1 or 2 in the morning. He gets on. I'm like, holy shit. It was good. Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate. That was crazy shit. We got my brother on, Steve and Ben also on. I should say Steve got Ben, I and my brother on, I guess. And, my brother's super overpowered. He's like, HR rank 153 now. So, we were killing, monsters in like a minute and shit. And, he was getting us through like the lower ranks and stuff pretty quickly. He helped me out today, actually, while we were driving back. We played for like 2 hours. He got me up to HR 3. We got up to HR 2 yesterday, so I'm ahead of Steve now. And Ben, actually.
I'm sorry, every time you say HR, it just makes me think of human resources. I guess Hunter rank.
Yes.
But yeah, I just think of human resources.
Not, you're not in the
I'm not one of the cool
the
kids.
Monster Hunter, you know, all-star team. It's okay. You sit on that bench.
I can't afford it.
Eventually, maybe I'll get you one. Who knows?
I'd rather have computer parts, really.
Fuck off. But yeah, a lot of fun. We killed a shit ton of different monsters. I got my first. They were making fun of me because I was still in starter armor. Because like every time I play it, I haven't had time to really play on my own. I have time, but I try to put it into other stuff as well. I was still in like the starter armor and shit. So, my brother helped me out. Well, we're all, farming the radium parts and everything. But, brother helped me get that plate today that I needed to finish the set. And then whenever I got up to HR3, we're farming some, Gormagallon, I can't remember the name. And it looks awesome. I got some blades. They're like claws, and they're blades that come like off your arms. And he looks like he's fucking like just clawing at the fucking monster. Oh, it's so cool. Awesome. Steve showed them to me early in, whenever I saw him, I was like, oh my God, those are it. Mm. I was, oh man, I was super excited. I was like, I have to have them now. So I'm probably going to play more Monster Hunter now. Because now I'm working on the armor and everything. But other than that, a little bit more Puzzle and Dragon Z. I have not played that much more of it. Every time I, like, well, I'll go through the games I've been playing in a little bit. But, like, this is, like, the last game I end with every night. And, like, I'm tired by the time I get to it. So I haven't been playing it. I'll go through this one real quick. The Witcher 2, I did a little bit more on it, didn't do much. I need to keep going through it, and hopefully this week, because I am, like, done with crazy fucking May, And I shouldn't be as busy this month at all. Other than, like, Courtney and I are celebrating our anniversary tomorrow. We're gonna, basically not be busy. And whenever she's at work, I can do whatever the fuck I want. Cause that's the thing now. So, yeah, need to get through more of The Witcher 2, and beat that game so I can get on The Witcher 3, which people seem to like a lot, like Kim.
Oh,
she loves
glorious.
Her. And, yes, and you did, but I know Kim loves her girl. But, other than that, some more stretch mode. I made it through some more levels of that. And it's still pretty awesome. I just keep going through it a little bit at a time. I've been trying to do, like, how I've been trying to play these games, has been, like, I make it through, like, basically 10 levels, like, one world of the game, and, trying to do it that way. Stretch mode's been a little bit on the back burner, but I haven't given myself, like, a ton of time. I've given myself, like, an hour or two, like, a day to try to go through stuff, and it hasn't been working too well. Playing all these games, but yeah, I need to play some more stretch mode and get through that. Box Boy, talk about that. It is a game where you're a box who's a boy, and then you find a box girl apparently, and you find this rectangular box guy, as I found throughout the game so far.
Box, kind of turtley thing, come and steal the box girl.
No.
All right.
No. What game is that? I'm thinking like Meat Boy, but that's like an egg guy or something, isn't he?
Yeah.
Can't remember what the hell he is.
Never mind.
Yeah, Box Boy. I made it through like 7 worlds now, and the mechanics are you like have to. You basically look like you're taking a shit, and you gotta push blocks out your body, and they give you so many blocks through each level that you have to, use to get over obstacles and through shit and hit buttons and do all this stuff. And it's a lot of fun and it's puzzle shit and I love puzzles and awesome. Pokemon Shuffle, been playing that, a lot too. This is like I get through all the hearts that I have to fight Pokemon and then I'm done. So that just keeps going on. I'm just playing a match 3 game to catch Pokemon. Moving the next Pokemon, and that's basically how that one goes. And now I'm gonna get made fun of. Brain Age Express Math. I picked this up with my coins, from Club Nintendo because it was ending, so I was like, okay. I picked this up, and, well, I like to think a lot, and I like math, so I've been doing a lot of math equations, and they're not like it's anything hard. For the calculation thing, they do...
They're not talking like quadratics.
No, nothing like difficult, really. But it's stuff that... It's timing you, so, you know, how fast or how slow you go, tells you how fast you, you know... It gives you, like, walking speed, cycling speed, car, train, I'm trying to remember because I haven't gotten that far yet. I know, like, I think the best one I got, in, like, the first Brain Age or whenever I played that back in the day was, like, rocket ship speed or something like that. It's just, like, rocket ships flying off. It's awesome. But yeah, like, this one, you're doing, some math equations, and they, like, you're gonna, or I should say, I'm gonna unlock more, things to do, like more, I guess it'd be like lessons or whatever, just to give you different ways of thinking and stuff like that. So I like doing, stuff like that to keep my brain going. I have found out, like, I did the brain age test and I was like 41 my first day. I was like, wow. My brain's really rusty. But then, like, I did it the second day, I was, like, 33, so... I'm moving down. And, like, 21 or something like that is the best, age you can get in the game. So, doing equations, it's basically, like, plus, minus, or I should say adding, subtracting, and multiplying. And there's some, like, it's stuff that you're like, you should, you know, but it's trying to do it in a very quick time, that, like, can throw you off and everything. But it's a lot of fun. I love doing it. And I'm trying to get faster each time. And it's helping my thought process again. Because I haven't thought really hard since college. So
yeah,
it's good
to feel my brain stagnating at the moment. So I should probably get myself something
really
to help rather than doing Sudoku.
Yeah, and like if you get the first,
ages. I guess that helps.
If you get like Brain Age or whatever, it comes with Sudoku on it. So if you have original DS or something like that, or if you can pick one up cheap, like you can get Brain Age and stuff. I have those, and I've thought about putting those in the system, but it's good to have it digitally so I can just, put it on whenever I feel like and play it. So I'm just trying to do it every single day, and it's awesome. Then Splatoon. And I went out on midnight to get the amiibo and everything. I was like, yeah, I'm going to get them, before anyone else does so I can finish it.
Yeah, of course you are.
Walmart didn't have any fucking stock at all. They didn't get any amiibo in. And, it sucked. It was horrible. So,
you got the game,
I was like, well, I'm here. Yeah. I was like, well, I'm here. I might as well get the game. So, I got the game. And instead of going to bed, because I had to, be up early in the morning to go to work and all that shit, I decided I'm gonna play Splatoon till 1 in the morning. So, I got in, it did whatever it had to do, took me through a tutorial. The opening tutorial is pretty cool. The thing that sucked is you couldn't switch off the motion controls.
Mm-hmm.
And so, basically it's up and down for the motion controls, and then you can use, like, the right stick to turn yourself left or right, which is kind of off-putting. Thinking about it that way. So after the tutorial, you can turn it off. It doesn't matter, which I did. But the tutorial's cool. It shows you different things. Shows you how to, use the, squid abilities and, going up walls, throwing grenades, shooting. You're basically shooting balloons and stuff, doing some targeting and stuff like that to learn the mechanics of the game before you go into it.
Yeah, I didn't get to do that when I played it.
Yeah, because they just threw you straight into multiplayer.
Yeah.
So, going into it, I just went straight in because it was late at night anyway. And I was stupidly tired, so it was dumb for me to play this. But I was playing with, like, half the team was, all from Japan or whatever. Because, like, they all had, Japanese character names. On Nintendo Network IDs. So, because, they got it first and everything. But, so, went in, doing that, playing with them. They probably had, a few hours to play it, more than me, like 12. So, went in, and started covering the map, and I killed a few people killed me, and I want to play more. I haven't had time because, I had to move people down to Virginia and got back around 4 o'clock today.
I mean, it's a very interesting game. I do like the mechanics. I guess because I was stuck with the kind of standard control system.
Well, you weren't stuck with it, but you had to know how to turn it off. And I heard people did turn it off, but you could ask somebody to have it taken off and then they'd tell you how. You have to basically press start and go into the setting for the motion control and then you can just turn it off.
Yeah, I wasn't going to do that
really
right in the middle of the game, though.
I would have.
Ah, man.
Because I couldn't play like that. It's fun so far. I only got one match into it. I want to play more.
I like the fact that kills don't matter at all.
No, and I hope they bring a mode that can be more like that. Because that'll cater to, you know, people that do, like, the FPS part.
Yeah, you'll get all the cop kids playing, then.
Yeah. I had a decent conversation, but I said something about, like, you know, by the time... I should bring it out in the news. I'll say it right now. There's a 12-year-old girl or something like that. This was like a little news piece. I'll put the link in the show notes that you can get to. This 12-year-old girl, this dad, put his daughter into playing, the game, and she's never played a Call of Duty game or anything like that. So this is her first, shooter game. And basically, you know, he's like, oh, how do you enjoy the game and stuff like that? She's like, it's a good game, but I wouldn't admit it to my friends. Because, like, the fact that people and, like, you know, kids the same age as her, like, she said that, you know, it doesn't have any blood or guts or anything like that in it.
Yeah.
And I just think that's so wrong. That, you know, you get, like, this girl would be judged by, you know, friends or, you know, people, you know, because of playing this kiddie style game instead of, like, hardcore Call of Duty. And if you think about it, these, like, whenever you kill somebody, they blow up into inky goodness. So if you imagine that being blood and guts, it's a lot more graphic than Call of Duty. But, like, it's kind of sad that, like, you know, people actually can't think of it that way. And it reminds me, like, you know, G4TE, like, I get made fun of for being the Nintendo fanboy and everything. And, you know, they're like, oh, Nintendo's gay, all this stuff. And I think I have this, like, persona around me of, like, I have to defy everyone because nobody else will like Nintendo because it's too kiddie. And, like, because G4TE is all of those mature gamers. they I see this as the same thing as they see Nintendo as too kiddie for them to play. I'm like, that's just sad. It makes me sad that people can hate on something because it looks childish.
No, I think, you know, if I'd had more time to play with it, I would have. I was the worst player out of the four sides, so eight people playing. I was the worst, the second to worst out of the lot. I think
I came in last on my game.
I think Lee came in near the top. But it's an enjoyable time. I'm not going to belittle people for playing something that they find enjoying. Unless, of course, it's, something stupid like, those clicker games, like Cookie Clicker. I mean, jeez. There's one out now.
These are owned,
that is just a copy of Unity assets, and someone else has made it. They've copied it, put it on Steam Greenlight, paid $100 to put it on Steam Greenlight, and I'm sorry. Anyway, I'm getting distracted.
I mean, you know, they're all games, but they're games in their own fashion. And, you know, if people want to play something like that, I guess simplistic, it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure people, like, would take a piss out of it too.
I can't hate on somebody else for being,
And I'm sure, like, people would take the piss out of me for at least two of the games I've been playing this week, but I don't give a shit.
Free to play game. I'm playing Pokemon Shuffle, it's free to play. But Splatoon is good. I'll come back next week because I plan on playing a lot more of it and getting into the single player and using the amiibo in the game and letting people know what that kind of stuff is. I believe it's like missions to get different, armor or whatever for your character. Some of it's armor and shit like that. By the way, I'm playing as a boy, not a girl. I don't think it matters because, Dan, you can't look at that ass like it's like, damn. Because then you'd be a pedophile. But, I would say they look kiddish. I don't know how old they are. It's Japan, too. 12-year-olds are supposed to be like 20. But yeah, so that's it for me, Dan. Go on with your stuff.
As ever, I've been playing Elite Dangerous and having a fantastic time. Ben and I, Einhander, or whatever his other handle is, can't remember, Tangram.
Godulator.
And Godulator. Yeah. We've been playing Elite Dangerous, and I mentioned it on the last show that we've been doing some of the community missions. The one I did.
You've been a shit ton of those.
Yeah, the one I did with him last week got me on top of the profit I made doing it, something like 7 million. The one I've just finished this week, I made about 13 million just from doing it, and then got given another 12 million credits. So, I now have a dropship that's pretty much fully loaded for combat. I don't really like
and
it.
And you hate it.
I hate it. It's just, it just doesn't feel right. Those shields go down really quickly. I need to do something about that. But yeah, you know, flying around in space, what's not to like about that?
Everything. Well,
not really. I mean, it's space, you know. The inner 12-year-old is just like, space!
It's spasming.
Yeah, so I've been playing that and watching a lot of Doctor Who, because they seem to kind of go
together.
Yeah,
you have.
In fact, I've watched, this week, all of the Christopher Eccleston and David Tennant. And, I've got to the end of the Pandorica episode. So yeah.
Nice.
I've seen quite a few. Still haven't seen last week's Game of Thrones. Need to do something about that. Last night I was like, bet no one's going to be on for ages. I could probably watch it whilst I had a long way to travel in one of my ships. And three episodes of Doctor Who later, someone came on. I was like, yeah, I knew I should have watched Game of Thrones whilst doing this. Damn it. So, yeah, maybe next time. Other than that, FF Legacy. The F is not Final or Fantasy. It is Fast and Furious Legacy. It's a free-to-play game on the... really quite enjoying it, and the time gate is annoying, and the pricing for buying gold seems ridiculously high, so that's something I'm never going to do. But yeah, I'm enjoying it. You've got street racing, drag racing, and drift events. It's good fun. There's not much to say about it, you know. It's a game on a phone with cars in, and I'm enjoying it.
It's not like you play many of those.
Slowly upgrading my car. Well, slowly upgrading my cars, and you know, just enjoying playing it in bed when I go to, you know, when I start going to sleep. Along with that, I've also still playing CSI Hidden Crimes, I can't remember what the genre is called. Hidden Object.
Point and click. Oh
hidden
yeah.
Hidden object game.
Find it.
Yeah, you got to find the things in a certain amount of time, and
I cannot believe how many months you've been playing that game.
Well,
and you still haven't actually beat it.
No, I'm on episode 15. Like each game, each episode is a case, and that's set into three sections, and you've kind of find enough objects so you get a star, and once you get a star, you can use that star to interrogate someone or analyze a piece of evidence, whatever. And there's 24 episodes in season one, so I'm getting there.
Just season
one? Yeah, season two came out a few months ago, so I need to get into cool. that. But every now and then they do... like holiday special ones. So there was a Mother's Day one, which I thought I was going to get done in time, but I still haven't finished it. I'm going to finish that tonight. But yeah, I'm still kind of enjoying it. You know, I thought I'd found the right killer. But I didn't. So that was annoying. So yeah, probably tonight I will pinpoint the killer. and move on to the next episode, which I'm actually most of the way through already. It's quite an enjoyable.
How many days
game.
Does it take you to get through a case?
Depends how often you play it. To be honest, I could play it twice as much as I do. I only play it at night in bed. I could play it, you know.
Well, say like, you know, how many sessions does it take you?
Well, I guess it takes about a week to do a case, maybe a bit longer.
So one session I would take you a week.
Yeah.
And you could do it, what, twice a day?
Yeah.
What's the time gate on it, I guess?
Basically, you have an energy bar of 80, and that fills up once every five. That you get one extra point in that every 5 minutes. But you get sometimes where each scene you visit takes 15 points of bad energy. Sometimes you get times when your energy will refill faster, or you'll get times when it's only 10 points of energy instead of 15 points of energy to go to a scene and find the objects. And then you get other times where it refills twice as fast, which is when I should probably be playing it more. But, you know, it's just, it's become part of my ritual to help me get to sleep, along with Trials Frontier. Still playing that. Opened up a whole new area. The multiplayer part of that is quite my same multiplayer. It's asynchronous. You basically got to, it matches you up with someone that's playing at that time, and you can race against their ghost, basically. And if you have the fastest time in at least two of the three, best of three different tracks, basically, you win and get money and stuff. That's quite fun. And a little bit today, The Witcher 3. I forgot how beautiful that game is. I played it for about 45 minutes to an hour this evening before the show, and I really want to get it. I keep getting torn between The Witcher 3 and Elite Dangerous, and Elite Dangerous has been winning recently because of these community events. So I'm just like, and then there's going to be, you know, the new Power Play update, and I'm going to be playing that when it comes out. So, but I really want to play The Witcher 3 because it's amazing. So I don't know what to do. Anyway, that is it for what we've been playing. So we are going to take a break. I'm going to take a vape, and we shall be back after this piece of music and it'll be news time. We are back, and it's time for the news. So I'm going to kick things off with news about a new console, because, you know, there aren't enough already.
But this is different.
Yeah, this is different. It's a new cartridge-based console being made to re-establish the culture of video gaming. For those of you that are too young to remember, cartridges were clunky bits of plastic and electronics that games used to be distributed on. The last one was the N64, released back in 1996.
I mean, you can say new consoles are chunky bits of plastic,
well,
too.
Well, true.
Even bigger than those.
The cartridges were chunky bits of plastic.
Oh, yeah, those were big and awesome. I love them.
Now, the good thing about a cartridge is that when you own one, the creator of that game can't take it away from you. Like, oh, I don't know. Yeah. Or anything else that suddenly disappeared that I can't think of at the moment. And it is one of the advantages when it comes to when it's compared to digital distribution, which has led to the development of the Retro VGS, Retro Video Game System, for those hard of thinking even, which is an upcoming cartridge-based game console. A chap called Mike Kennedy, who's also the publisher of Retro Magazine, and he's looking to, he's kind of doing it, and he's looking to bring it to Kickstarter this summer. But at the moment, he's got a pretty solid idea of what this thing's for and what it's going to do. Basically, he perceives it as a revival of interest in retro style games, which is...
So Christopher Williams is all about it.
Yeah. And, you know, lots of people are, you know, getting, you know, in playing retro style games and retro games. Shovel Knight, that's not exactly pushing the boundaries anywhere, is it? Anyway, the Retro VGS, it'll be able to play original 2D games made with the retro style for the console, as well as 16-bit fan favorite sequels and ports of popular mobile and digital distributed retro style games from mobile consoles released on cartridge for the first time. Basically, they're repurposing the original Atari Jaguar tooling. Oh, God, that console did not go well.
I think I heard somebody talking, or maybe I read something about this, but it's like the guy, because like they don't have the rights to it anymore, where it found just like a shit ton of them and bought them up so it could use that infrastructure for it.
I remember seeing one in a shop when I bought my PS2.
And it had so much dust on it.
Anyway, this console is going to come with rebranded internal hardware and a retro-inspired controller. Actually, if you look at it, it's got old-school Sega-style... how many pins is that? Can't quite tell. But, yeah, it looks like it takes the old-school Sega Master System and Mega Drive controllers and USB
ones. It was
one.
Sad that I knew... Like, it was sad. I looked, I was like, that's the Sega, Sega pins.
So yeah, if you want to know more about it and are interested in the idea of game ownership, tangibility and collectability, and having a system with, no updates, digital downloads or buggy games, apparently. You can follow the development of the Retro VGS over on their Facebook page. So just, you know, put Retro VGS, I guess, into Facebook and it'll find it for you.
Now, just remember that if it is a buggy game, it's not getting patched, so you're stuck with a buggy game.
Yeah.
Just like the old days.
Yeah, except it's not like the Retron where you can actually put the games that you've got already in.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Apparently, it's rumored to have the graphical capability range from the early Atari, to the early PS1, and there are no programmers currently working on games for it. So
it's doing well.
Yeah. Anyway, what have we got next? Wedding bells, I hear.
Yeah, Corey and I got remarried at GameStop.
That dude's way too tall for you.
How do you know how tall he is by the picture?
Scale.
I put on a wig and I got a little bit chubbier. this was really cool, okay? It was kind of weird. But, so, this guy and girl, Robert Piazza and Krista Sladen, got married at a GameStop as Link and Zelda. And that's pretty awesome just right there. The reason I kind of put this in there, because it happened in PA, like 4 or 5 hours away. Southwestern part of Pennsylvania. I don't even know where I live anymore. It's because I went down to Virginia. I'm like, yeah. But these people are up in the northeastern part. And, you know, they're a little weird up in there, but... So these guys got together. They met in a GameStop, this GameStop that they got married in, during a Mario Kart tournament. And people get together at bars and stuff. I think it's even weirder to meet in a GameStop.
I don't know.
That was an interesting little story. You know, how it's like, how you tell kids, like, Mom, how'd you meet Dad? Oh, yeah, we were playing Mario Kart in GameStop. I whooped his ass with that blue shell and made him the first. And first he started to harass me and email me and stalk me at my house. And then I just kind of grew to love him. Because he wasn't leaving. And then I just made Gamer Sound horrible. For some of them are. But yeah, they had their wedding in the GameStop where they got married, which I don't know anyone else that's done this. And then, after the wedding, for the reception in the GameStop, they were playing Super Smash, they had a Super Smash Brothers tournament. That sounds like the best reception ever. I just would like to get drunk and do it. But it's definitely an interesting, little thing. Whenever they're walking down the aisle at the end, like, you know, after they got married, like, watching video and everything, like, they played the Legend of Zelda theme and stuff. It's like, ah, it's so awesome! It was like, I've thought of having a video game wedding, like, you know, whenever I was younger, and then whenever I got a little older, I was like, it's probably not going to fly with my significant other, and it probably still wouldn't fly with Courtney, technically. Courtney says she wants one. I don't believe her that much. So yeah, interesting way to get married and to meet your partner and stuff. It's pretty crazy.
I think that guy's done really well there. I think he's punching above his weight.
I always wanted some, like, you know, to marry someone that, like, really, really liked video games. And then, like, Courtney's the closest thing to someone that plays video games. Because, like, she got on the Second Life, so she doesn't play many regular video games. And then she stopped playing Second Life, kind of, and then she's played some video games. So, like, at least I have someone that plays video games, and I can do a video game podcast, and she doesn't scold me for it.
Much.
Yeah, she's good with it. I just have to tell her to shut up every Sunday until she gets her own office area where she can go do her stuff. But yeah, cool story, bro.
Just imagine, oh, where'd you get married? GameStop. Okay. Give you a discount.
They just need to remember. They have to return the wedding in the first month to get the highest amount of money back on their wedding. I've been wanting to make that joke forever, ever since I saw his story. It was such a horrible joke, but I wanted it so bad. Oh, man. Let's keep moving on.
Okay, well, Lego. It's not the first piece about Lego. That we're doing tonight. Basically Lego Jurassic World might actually be all right, as long as it doesn't have any terrible platforming bits in it. But yeah, it's coming out on June the 12th, and it's an open world co-op simplistic action kind of game, but you can play as the dinosaurs. And there's some really weird things in the welcome to Lego Jurassic World trailer.
Wait, you can actually play as the dinosaurs?
Yeah. There are these weird, like, hamster ball things that you can travel around in. Because, you know, we've seen them in all of the film trailers, haven't we? Hamster balls for the people to roam around and not get eaten. You can make your own dinosaurs. And for some reason, in the clip, there's a raptor riding a motorcycle. So, it looks kind of interesting.
Makes sense.
It's based on all four films, including the new one. So, that may be not so good. But yeah, a velociraptor on a motorbike, just kind of nuts. It also teases the possibility on the video of an underwater swimming sections playing as historic creature. So yeah, it's cool. You know, you should be able to explore everywhere and as a person, or you know, you can be a worker, a visitor, a dinosaur. So yeah, could be fun. Could be, if only for the bike riding raptors and the human hamster balls. It's a really weird trailer.
Yeah, I haven't checked it out yet. I need to do that.
Yeah, it looks odd. But anyway, enough about Lego for now.
Well, next up, just today, actually, there's a few things that came out today. We're only going to get into one right now. But Japan had a Nintendo Direct, which I thought was a little weird before E3. But I guess since it's in Japan, it's a little different. I don't know. Japan had a Nintendo Direct, and one of the things, which I haven't been able to watch Nintendo Direct yet because stuff, one of them was Monster Hunter Cross, a new Monster Hunter game, and I'm guessing it also will probably stand for 10. I don't know if there's been 10 altogether. I'll have to look back at the series to see and count, and we'll do that in a little bit. But it looks like, you know, the other Monster Hunter games, and I think I saw a new weapon. I'm not sure. I'll have to check it, again. But there are some different attacks and stuff like that, abilities, and like, we were in the car, or Jeep today, heading home, and Steve sent me the link to watch it. And my brother's into Monster Hunter and everything as well, so, as you can tell from his 153 AHR rank. He was like, oh, that looks cool, oh, that looks cool. And then at the end of the trailer, they had the one person, like, combing a sheep or goat or something, and then kissing it. So that was interesting. Go Japan. It's supposed to come out this winter in Japan, and we'll see eventually for, a Western release and stuff like that. But, again, it's only on the 3DS, so it's like, no.
I mean, do you think the Cross would be, I don't know, platform? No.
That's kind of what I was thought. Well, I mean, Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate they had on 3DS and Wii U, why aren't they doing it again? Like, Monster Hunter 4 has done so well just on the 3DS. Maybe they're not seeing enough on Wii U to put it out there, but I really wish that it would come out on the Wii U, because I love having it on that big screen and seeing those big HD monsters, and oh, love Monster Hunter so much. But Steve seems pretty excited about it, so we'll see. We'll see what happens eventually. I don't know what's going to come out at E3. I don't think they're going to really talk about it that much at E3 because of this. And it's only come to Japan. I guess E3 can go for the whole world, so they may talk about it and show it off with that as well. It's like, we showed this off for Japan on blah blah blah. We'll see. I'm excited. I love Monster Hunter. And I like I said, I haven't even like scratched the surface with Monster Hunter 4 yet, so I can wait. But others may not be able to. And Japan has had Monster Hunter for like 2 years now, so, or Monster Hunter 4 for like 2 years now, so yeah. Whatever happens, happens. But that's really it for that.
Well, next up, it's more Nintendo. And it's, I guess we all know that, you know, they're quite strict with their policies, including, you know, the behavior of players online, voice chat being disabled on titles like Mario Kart 8 and Splatoon, and the possibility of cyberbullying is reduced by not having it. But YouTube channel, Game Chat, go check them out. They've identified 5 different ways to become banned online explaining each method in their actually quite weird tone. So go and check that video out. But a quick way is a quick roundup of the ways are well, first of all, there's moving around the stage without attacking anyone. That'll get you a ban for about 3 minutes. Idling and doing absolutely nothing. Another ban there, or timeout. Using the same move over and over again, which I think is a bit harsh. I mean, if you've got, you know, an attack that's really good, you're going to use it.
Or if you're like a kid that only knows how to hit one button. Of course, they probably shouldn't be playing online, but hey.
Repeatedly targeting one player, which is something we've known for quite some time. And repeatedly making silly noises, which is actually a combination of one and three, I suppose. But yeah.
Well, I don't know what they mean by silly noises. They mean like maybe doing the
noise that
taunts and stuff.
There's a noise in one of the attacks that I can't remember who it was. It might be Wario makes, and he makes this noise, and they just kept doing that over and over and over again. Not hitting anyone.
I haven't watched the video, so.
So, yeah. Woohoo. Thanks, Nintendo. I guess, you know, you have to play the way Nintendo want you to. Now, some people agree to these bans because they argue that it keeps spamming players at bay, whilst other people are arguing that the game should be played however the user wishes to play it. So...
Yes, let that person walk around the screen without attacking me. I'll get my points up. I don't even know if they have a point system or whatever on Smash Brothers.
Yeah, and if there's a guy that just stood there doing nothing because they've gone answer the door or take a leak, then just let people kill him.
I'm sure you have to do it more than like once to get banned.
I don't think you do. I think it's not a long ban. It's more of a timeout, I guess.
Okay, so I know there is stuff that's been getting, like, I think bans can get progressively worse and stuff like that. There was a glitch on the 3DS whenever it first came out. Like, people got banned for... I can't remember if it was minutes or hours, but it ended up being, like, 100-something days. In hours or minutes or whatever.
Yeah.
It was like a stupid, ridiculous amount. And it was for nothing. Like, it just accidentally happened. They had to fix all that.
Yeah, but apparently, you know, Nintendo games always come out perfect, Gary.
Yeah, well, accidents happen, and it got fixed very quickly. I'm like, I don't know, Halo Master Chief Collection that still didn't work for months. It was only like a couple day thing, and like they fixed it like right away too. Like, it was just something that randomly happened that they didn't foresee. So it's not like, oh, you have to download a 20 GB patch to fix this thing, or put in the multiplayer. Oh God, I can't stand those stupid new high def awesome consoles.
It just pissed me off when I downloaded the single player part of Call of Duty, and then it was like, oh no, you need the multi part to play the single player part. I was like, why?
The dumbest thing ever.
Why don't you just have it as one thing then?
Yeah. Stupid, stupid stuff.
We haven't got any more Nintendo-y stuff, have we?
It's all Nintendo over here. Because like I said before, nobody else wants to cover Nintendo. Nobody. Except for, like, Nintendo Oki, which isn't part of... Well, no. Nintendo is. Nintendo... Yeah, Nintendo is part of us. Nintendo Oki's part of VG Hub. But, yeah. All the other ones... Like, I listen to, I don't know, like, 8 podcasts, and only, like, one other talks about Nintendo. It's like, why? Why no love? Why is the love so slim? Anyway, Project Treasure, which was teased in January during a Nintendo Direct, and it was so teased, it was terrible. It was just a video of the guy who, I can't even remember what he made, but it's from Bandai Namco. I can't remember what the hell he was. He himself worked on. But like he's talking about this game, and like it shows words, and then he's talking, and words, and then he's talking, and then they finally showed a trailer for it today during the Nintendo Direct for Japan, and basically you're going into places you're it's called Project Treasure, so you're going for treasure in these places, and a lot of enemies, a lot of big type. Of enemies and stuff like that too. It looks really interesting. I do wanna see more to it because like it didn't really show gameplay. It just showed, you know, it showed gameplay, but it didn't show like much of it. Basically, it was showing them standing in an area shooting or slashing at enemies. So I would like to see more of what is actually going on in these places. And what's going on with it. I think this will be one that'll be shown at E3. Because it looks like a fun little game.
It sounds a bit like a four-player, free-to-play Tomb Raider.
It doesn't sound like a four-player free-to-play. It is a four-player free-to-play.
Tomb Raider.
It would be...
You know, fighting through stuff and then deciphering... making a puzzle and getting treasure.
That's what I was gonna say. Like it's a Tomb Raider, as in, at least from this picture, like it looks like they're going to a tomb, and you know, they're basically raiding a place for treasure. So, but this says, yeah, you're gonna work cooperatively through different levels. I wonder how many levels they're gonna have. If it's gonna be more like Left 4 Dead-ish. Except not with, like, zombies, like, hundreds of zombies running at you, and you gotta kill them, stuff like that. But it says, you're required to clear traps, rout enemies, and seize treasure. But I guess during trial they're ending a Egyptian tomb, fighting zombies, mummies, spiders, and they're doing that before deciphering a tablet and nabbing treasure. So, it doesn't have a release or anything yet, but it's gonna be distributed through the eShop, and apparently there's gonna be more information this summer. So it's gonna have to be E3. Like that just seems like the thing they would or should do. But it's Nintendo, and they love to do stuff weird. So what's next?
Well, it looks like there is another block building game on the horizon from, TT Games, Warner Brothers Entertainment, and as you may have guessed, it's a Lego game. It's called Lego Worlds, and it's seemingly in development based on a promotional image that was posted on the Eurobricks forum. The author apparently found a small ad on the back of the instructions for the 60097 City Square set that was released this month. The image doesn't reveal much at all, but it features the tagline "Explore, Discover, Create," which kind of suggests they're trying to offer a similar experience to Minecraft, giving gamers the creativity to build whatever they want. At present, the link on the flyer leads to I just had a look at it—a rather cool 404 page. Which kind of suggests that this reveal has come prematurely for Lego. And it's early days, but it's easy to see, you know, a huge potential in Lego Worlds. I mean, Mojang has proven that world building games can lead to a huge amount of money after being bought for £1.5 billion last year. There's no logos hinting at what platform the game may be available on or any sort of release window, but with E3 coming up next month, probably going to hear more about Lego World soon.
Lego always has something, so...
Yeah.
And, I mean, a Lego game makes sense in the Minecraft style, because who doesn't want to fucking build with Lego blocks?
I know, I'm already imagining building, you know, a Millennium Falcon or something out of...
Oh, Lego blocks! Gonna be great.
Yeah.
Hell, it could really rival with Minecraft.
Like, yeah, because it's Diggers in it.
And there's Lego Minecraft, so... Could that somehow come into it? I don't know.
I have idea. I'm just looking forward to seeing if it's actually ever going to happen. Anyway, what's up next?
Well, something that after I saw you put this in here, like, I kind of got excited about and everything. And it's called, I'm guessing, Colot? Colot? Yep. It's a game, and they say it's like Dear Esther mixed with, fuck, I forgot his name, Sean Beans. And, it's another one of those games. I went to look at, who's making it, and I don't think it says on here. Just, oh no, developers, IMGN.pro. And I was wondering if it was gonna be like, the chatter room or whatever, again. Because they did Dear Esther and stuff like that. But it's another one of those, like, not a game kind of games, like, where you walk around and it's, like, in a pretty environment and stuff like that. And, for those that don't know what Colot is, it is, basically a story about, nine hikers.
Well, it's a place in Russia. Yeah.
Well, the story about, this, it's part of a mountain, which is called, Dyatlov Pass, and, it's very big with, you know, kind of, it says horror directors and Wikipedia trollers, not troll, but troll, T-R-A-W-L, and it's got, like, nine hikers went up into this mountain, and, these hikers had the weather went bad, and the hikers had to set up a tent and everything, and it's unsure what exactly happened up there. Some people think it could have been an avalanche that happened, but basically the hikers, like, there are signs of them cutting out of the tent, and some of them were running barefoot. Some of them were found, like, only in their boxers and stuff like that. You know, all of them died during this event, and, you know, nobody knows exactly what happened to it. So this is kind of a game of, like, this developer studio, like, their take on what happened up there and stuff like that. And you're playing as this character that's walking around, and the character's name is Sean Bean. Did I say the character's name is Sean Bean?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. The character, the voice of the character is Sean Bean. And come on, Sean Bean's awesome. And if we know anything about Sean Bean, the character's gonna die in the end. I'm interested in this game. I like Sean Bean's voice and everything. I like stuff Sean Bean does. Now, this has nothing really to do with him other than being a voice actor. So I may buy this game just on his voice. But, you know, him voice acting is kind of cool. And it has that thing of Dear Esther where you're walking around and the character, talks about stuff and whatnot. So I'm interested in looking at it. It comes out on, June 9th or June 10th, depending on, I guess where you live. And I went and looked at it on Steam and it has no price to it. So, like, I'm like, okay, if it's like $20, I'm gonna be like, sell. If it's cheap, because, like, if it's just walking around, you're not doing much. The game has some horror aspects to it, not like, crazy, like, say, PT or anything like that. But, like, you know, it's got some kind of creepy stuff going on with it. So, I would like to see what happens with this. And it, you know, takes a part of, like, real history that happened and kind of putting a little, you know, thing to it and to, to get this. I mean, I never would have fucking known that, you know, these nine hikers or anything without them. I believe it was 1986 that this
1959.
Happened. Or, yeah, 59, sorry. It was a lot longer ago than that. I don't even know where I got 86 from. But it seems really cool, and I kind of want to look into it. So, oh yeah, this is 1959 right there. Mm-hmm. I don't read news articles much. I was just, like, I saw a news article, and then I looked at the videos for the thing, and then I looked at the Wikipedia page, and then I looked at another Wikipedia page of it. So, it kind of drew me in, so I'm excited to look into what's going to go on with it. So, look forward to it. I maybe think, or wait for my opinion after next week when I buy it and play through it. It's probably going to be about 4 hours of walking around, so if you don't like that, Duke, don't get it. but yeah, that's probably it for that. Dan, I believe you have one last piece.
Yeah, I put it in on my phone the other day, and it didn't do it properly, so I just left it as a note at the bottom of the notes and remembered just before recording, actually during recording. Anyway, the debate about DirectX 12 is pretty hot at the moment. It's probably going to stay that way until Windows 10 finally releases and we can all see what the improvements are. Until then, posts about DirectX 12 aren't going to stop. And I guess, you know, if you're listening to me about this, you're probably just as excited as I am. So anyway. Topic in hand. Recently, a Project Cars developer shared his thoughts on the improvements that DX12 will bring to Project Cars. He's no tiny team member. It's Ian Bell, the head of the studio at Slightly Mad Studios. So the information is probably quite correct and pretty damn accurate. Yeah, so the Project Cars development team have been quite open about the development of the game. They've taken to the forums to solve loads of issues that the players have had to face, from bugs to future releases, and they've been quite open and cooperative to the fans about their plans and have apparently received appreciation for it as well. But when asked about the impact of DirectX 12 on Project Cars, head of the studio, Slightly Mad Studios, Ian Bell, relieved to the fans that the new API will increase the performance of Project Cars by 30-40%, which is surprisingly major kind of boost, really, there, isn't it? I'm gonna have to get Project Cars and see what the difference is myself, because as we all know, DirectX 12 is going to be part of the release of Windows 10, which is a free upgrade to any PC running a previous version of Windows up to a certain point. I think if you're still running
7 is the earliest.
Yeah, I think if you're still running 3.1.1, then A, you're probably not connected to the internet, and B, you're probably not going to be playing Project Cars. But yeah, 30 to 40%, that's pretty nuts. So, yeah, I'll be buying Project Cars in a week and a half.
I'm wondering, because, like I said, I played, you know, Forza 5 last week or whatever. Like, those games look fucking great, and I kind of wanted to play it.
Well, I've heard a lot of good and, well, mixed stuff about Project Cars, but...
I've definitely heard the mixed things over podcasts I listened to last week.
Yeah, people saying it's obvious that they were going for a free-to-play model to start with, and but I mean, it looks beautiful, and if I can that much of a performance increase, woohoo!
Yeah,
I wonder what it's going to do to some of my other games that are going to take advantage of it.
Not much.
Well, we'll see, I guess, at some point. But yeah, that is it for the news. So we're going to take a quick break, and we will be back with Quest of the Week and the cleanup and all of that sort of stuff.
Right, we're back, and it's time for Quest of the Week. Last week, we asked you how much you were enjoying The Witcher 3, and obviously, you're all enjoying too much to answer us, so fair enough. This week, we're asking, have you ever thought of having a video game themed wedding, or any other themed wedding for that matter? So let us know. Right, well, that was nice and simple. So, TGM check. Gary, why don't you take this one, and then we'll be getting out of here.
Okay. Well, this is from JSS Lifelike, and he says, Monster Hunter 4 with me and Ben, and
Dragon Age Inquisition.
Fucking Steve using fucking... I thought that was a G until I was like, wait, no, that's a Q. Because of his old N64 collecting game, doing that shit again. He's played Super Mario 64, Star Fox 64, Elmo's Letter Adventure, and Elmo's Number Journey. And before you start judging Steve, he's been playing that with Jacob, so he's not that weird.
Yeah, that's his excuse anyway.
Yeah. But, yep. That's it.
Okay, well, shout outs. Gary.
Well, my brother, hold on. I was going to say his online.
Oh, I've forgotten his name.
My brother, who goes online as Nepta, N-E-P-T-A. As far as I know, it's like everywhere he is, which is mostly Nintendo because he doesn't have like newer consoles, like past the PS2. other than like Wii U and stuff. And Steven and Ben, for the whole monster hunting yesterday. That was crazy awesome fun. So much fun. And then Gabe from Toys R Us. Yes, Gabe Newell works at Toys R Us. yeah, that was an awesome talk about, amiibos and stock and shit and craziness. It was cool. That's really it for me, Dan.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say hello to Jason Isaacs. Secondly, I guess Ben,
being your wingman.
Yeah, playing like, actually.
He openly calls himself your wingman. He has no problem doing that.
It's because I'm a big ass. And yeah, I guess that's about it. Rogue's back for the weekend, so good to chat to him.
I tried chatting to him, but he's like, I'm watching YouTube video, I don't talk to you bitches.
So Gary, web for the week to come, where can we find you on the internets?
Nowhere. well, you can find me on Twitter and Elite Dangerous if I get on that, hopefully. Eventually soon, because I want to take part in these, community things. Amherst89 there. Arizona Square 89 is Steam. Arizona 2 89 is Nintendo Network, which I've been on crazy a lot, this week and probably upcoming, just because I can. And, Minecraft is also Amherst 1289. And as Amherst 2 89 is the PSN. Dan, you.
Yeah, as for me, I am hardly down everywhere that kind of really counts. You're most likely to catch me on Twitter or Elite Dangerous or Steam or possibly Origin if I get round to playing some Witcher 3 this week.
Wait,
but yeah.
You have Witcher 3 on Origin? I thought you had it on GOG.
Sorry, yeah, I do, on GOG. Yeah, I'm hardly down on GOG.
I thought you were going to say Dragon Age Inquisition.
Oh, God, I've got to start that again, haven't I?
Yep.
Yeah. So, no, good old games. If you're part of their kind of beta test for GOG Galaxy, and figure out their convoluted way of adding friends, you can always add me.
Which we still haven't added each other on there.
No, it's because it involves one of us posting something and I can't be asked.
Too lazy.
Yeah.
So so you'll never find us as friends.
So anyway, Gary, if anyone, for some weird reason, wanted to get in contact with us about the podcast, how would they go about doing it?
Well, we don't have too many weird people contacting us because it doesn't happen very often. So I guess people aren't weird enough. Maybe a weird person will contact us this week, and then we can say they're weird. I don't know. If you want to be weird, contact us here and there and everywhere. Which, starting off, you can do it at Facebook at The Gamesman Podcast. And then you can also send us voicemails at The Gamesman... God, I screwed that up. The RPG Hotline, which is 412-267-RPG-1 or 412-267-7741. You can also email us at thegamesmanrpg@gmail.com and give us, you know, some questions or just email us because you love us, like John Mal does every 6 months when he gets around to listen to podcasts. Actually, you should be listening more often now because school should be out for this summer. Woo!
That's half term at the moment over here, so.
Don't know what that means, and I don't want to know.
It's the break in the middle of the term.
I'll find that out after the podcast. And then, you know, RPG questions, you can send those as well there, or, you know, submit an MP3 if you live in the UK and that way is too expensive for you to call the voicemail. Twitter account is at GamesmanRPG, and we have new followers, which is Gamer Parent, and he has his own podcast that I don't remember exactly what's called right now. I'll put a link in the show notes just because I can. And then Adam SKD86. And then also you can send your hashtag TGM checks and hashtag TGM quests. And you can get us on YouTube at youtube.com/GamesmanRPG. Watch us on Twitch at twitch.tv/GamesmanRPG. I will try to get more now that I am not a busy boy. And you will be able to catch us this week because of my awesome, stupid, low memory, whatever, space, SSD. I got a new SSD and I will be installing that probably tomorrow. And then I will be able to play Game of Thrones, so we will be streaming that, so keep in touch with Twitch, and you will see us there. And follow us, because it's awesome. And then iTunes reviews, I haven't had time to check, I will check next week. And so far, I haven't had any new ones as far as I know, but give us an iTunes review, let us know what you think of the podcast, and how crazy, awesome, bad, horrible, disgusting, swear too much, whatever. Give us an iTunes review. We want them. We love them. We need them. Because we want to be high up on those charts. And not us. VGHub.net. Check out the other podcasts that we are affiliated to, know by name, and are friends with. VGHub.net. Check them out. Great wealth of gaming content over there, as Steve would say. And Dan, take it.
Yeah, well, that will do for episode 72. So on behalf of Gary Amorous 89, I am Dan Hudley Dan Natman. We are the Gamesmen, and until next time, we ask,
what role will you play?
If not fully satisfied with this podcast, please return any portion for a full refund.
So you can run and tell that, homeboy.